This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on key takeaways from India's External Affairs Minister's visit to Switzerland. The participants are Bhaswati Mukherjee, former ambassador, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
A warm welcome, Ambassador Bhaswati Mukherjee, to Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
Ambassador, the External Affairs Minister, Dr. S. Jaishankar, visited Geneva, Switzerland from 12th to the 13th of September 2024. And during his visit, he interacted with the leadership of international organizations in Geneva, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, and the Director General of the World Health Organization. What was the outcome of these meetings?
Well, his primary reason for the visit was to inaugurate our new iconic building to house our permanent mission to the UN in Geneva. And during this time, he visited, as you rightly pointed out, the two most important multilateral organizations there, which is the High Commissioner for Human Rights and the World Health Organization. And he interacted with both. I understand that for the latter, that is for the World Health Organization, they had a useful exchange on how to combat future pandemics. And in that context, our External Affairs Minister shared India's readiness to cooperate with regard to India's traditional medicine, which is very famous, and which is often seen as an excellent alternative to modern medication, which relies on antibiotics, etc. Our traditional medicine, on the other hand, offers a healing process which is much less abrasive and easier for the body to combat.
Ma'am, the EAM, while addressing the Indian diaspora, said,
"There's a lot of interest. In a sense, it's like a best practices conversation on what's happening on health. And of course, there is the issue of traditional medicine. Very proud, and also we take it as a responsibility that WHO selected Jamnagar as the center for the Global Traditional Medicine Center. It is something which, you know, we take seriously. We had our first summit, Traditional Medicine Summit, last year. And we want to take it forward."
Yes, this was welcomed, and we would await to see how the World Health Organization takes this forward. With regard to the High Commissioner for Human Rights, one of the issues that was taken up was the whole issue of international rankings on human rights and how these rankings are established. They are often based on a very low database, and very often India ends up near the bottom. For instance, democracy ranking, freedom of speech, etc. So I think that our External Affairs Minister took the opportunity to give the High Commissioner for Human Rights a complete overview of the situation of human rights and democracy in India, about the fact that it's a country based on rule of law, that it's a country that in fact is a democratic haven surrounded, unfortunately, in its neighborhood by countries that are either barely democracies or are autocracies. Under those circumstances, I think our External Affairs Minister would also have taken the opportunity to explain the ongoing, for instance, electoral processes underway in our various states, including in Jammu and Kashmir, and to explain that we have found the best way forward within our own democratic system, our own parliament, our own constitution.
Ma'am, the EAM dedicated the newly built state-of-the-art permanent mission to India in Geneva, which you pointed out a while back. He also dedicated a statue of Dr. Bhimrao Ambedkar, the permanent mission, and named a hall in memory of Srimati Hansa Mehta, who played a key role in promoting gender equality during the drafting of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. In view of that, what is Dr. Jaishankar's approach to multilateralism and India's perspective on the evolution of human rights along with current global human rights situation?
I think it is often forgotten that when the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted, India was just emerging from the colonial yoke. And yet, even under the colonial yoke, India was able to play its role in the negotiations leading up to the Universal Declaration. It is often forgotten. At that time, two-thirds of the world was under colonial rule, and the Universal Declaration has often been cited as a document which is heavily dependent on Western ideas of human rights, justice, etc. For example, it offers no excuse or condemnation of excesses which were committed under colonial rule worldwide by the major colonial powers who who were instrumental in drafting the Universal Declaration. Therefore, it is only appropriate that he named a hall for Mrs. Hansa Mehta and that he also inaugurated the statue for Dr. Ambedkar. We already have a beautiful statue of Mahatma Gandhi in Geneva, which the EM also visited according to the press clippings that I saw of the visit. External Affairs Minister is a dedicated multilateralist who's also a pragmatic diplomat when he was in the Foreign Service, 1977 batch. He is fully aware of the fact that today's United Nations and the Security Council reflects the power balance of the world as it emerged from the Second World War. If you look at the P5, you would find that it has the victor members of the World War II as permanent members, who today you could call very well as second-rate powers, including our ex-colonizer United Kingdom. On the other hand, there are very important countries missing from the permanent membership. That includes India. That includes major African countries. There is no African country. There is no Arab country. There is no Latin American country. Brazil is not there, etc. Therefore, pragmatic diplomat as he is, it is clear from his actions that his external affairs minister also believes that emerging alternative power equations, including the G20, actually reflect better the present power balance globally today. G20, the BRICS, etc. These are alternative power balances where you would find countries like India playing a very important role, although they are absent from the Security Council.
Ma'am, Dr. Jaishankar also planted a tree under the Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam initiative, which the Prime Minister started. He planted one tree over there as well, giving an emotional touch to the issue of preserving the environment.
Yes, this is something which is very close to the heart of the present government and of our Prime Minister. We have played an important role in combating climate change. Although we've been not given any funds, we have led the way forward. We are committed to zero emissions. We have sacrificed a lot. We have offered the Solar Alliance. And planting trees is a way of explaining that if we don't protect Mother Earth, which is exactly what Gandhiji himself has said, that the world has enough for every man's needs. The world does not have enough for every man's greed. And that, in fact, so many years ago, Gandhiji actually showed the way forward that we need to preserve planet Earth, and the way to do it is to protect planet Earth, and planting trees is an excellent way forward. And I think that was a very moving gesture, which must have gone down very well in Geneva, which has played an important role in trying to combat climate change.
What are your views on the ways to deepen cooperation in public health, though you did mention briefly about it, and promote traditional medicine systems globally?
Well, traditional medicine we have always offered as an alternative. Unfortunately, there used to be some Western skepticism about their utility, but that has slowly dissipated, because we should also remember that some of our traditional medicines, including homeopathy, have a strong base in countries like Germany, which have also taken up homeopathy in a big way. Moreover, our traditional medicines offer a way out to sicknesses and ailments of which cannot anymore be treated effectively through traditional allopathic medications, including antibiotics, because of drug-resistant illnesses. So traditional medicines that India offers shows the way out. There is also a certain uneasiness about whether, in case of another pandemic, would the WHO handle it a little better than they did for the last pandemic, where they were slow to respond, they were slow to fix responsibility, and they were extremely slow in pushing the West to share their vaccine with developing countries and least developed countries in Africa, whereas India showed the way forward that at a time when we did not have enough of the Covaxin or Covishield for our own people, we still generously gave what we could to the Africans and those who were in dire need, recognizing the fact that to control a pandemic, it must be controlled in every part of the world, otherwise it cannot be eradicated. So I think that this would be an important discussion in the context of controlling pandemics. What role do traditional medicines also play in combating new emerging threats to public health?
Dr. Jaishankar also, along with the Swiss foreign minister, held wide-ranging discussions on various topics, and particularly the free trade agreement between India and IFTA. So how will India leverage this free trade agreement between India and IFTA?
On free trade, our position is well known. In fact, Switzerland, although it's not officially a member of the European Union, it has agreements which enable Switzerland to enjoy the benefits of a membership of the European Union. Therefore, any free trade agreement that we would have with the EU would also benefit Switzerland. Our difficulty is that when you deal with a bloc of developed countries, they must be willing to provide concessions to an emerging economy and not expect us to open up our market to their products without a similar concessions being given to us, especially if these are products in which we have similar strengths, like let's say dairy food or agriculture or let's say automobiles. These are sensitive issues which have to be worked out in accordance with the principle that whatever concessions we give cannot be equal to the concessions they offer, because the state of economic development of such a developed bloc cannot be compared to that of India. So this is a negotiation that will take time, but it will probably move faster because it has been separated from investment. Earlier it was with investment. Now that it's just a plain and simple free trade agreement, I am much more optimistic about it finally reaching fruition.
What role does Switzerland play in India's efforts to enhance its position as a global manufacturing hub, especially with the initiatives like Make in India?
Switzerland, although it's a small country, has niche areas of excellence. The Swiss are extremely good in, for instance, preserving heritage, culture, museums. They are very good in cleaning up waterways, pollution. They have, in fact, niche areas of technology just like the Netherlands. And they are much more amenable to exchanging technology with us than many other developed countries. Under those circumstances, we have always benefited from the Swiss expertise on all these issues. And they have a fairly large diplomatic presence in India, considering it's a very small country. And we have been using their areas of excellence and competencies for decades now in order to benefit from areas where we would need exchange of technology. One of them is, of course, on the area of cleaning up of rivers and pollution, but also how to preserve heritage and culture is an issue on which the Swiss have huge expertise, and we have benefited from their expertise in the past and would continue to do so in the future.
You're very right in saying that Switzerland is known for its expertise in innovation, especially in areas like AI, clean energy and biotechnology. So how can India tap into this potential through collaborative partnerships?
It would depend on how willing they are to transfer technology. Let me take up a simple example. If you shut your eyes and think of Switzerland, what do you think of? You think about watches, clocks, think of Swiss cheese. These are areas where they are not going to transfer technology. As far as artificial intelligence is concerned, they are not the leader in artificial intelligence in my perspective. We already are in a fairly good situation negotiating a deal with the Americans. But yes, they are excellent engineers. They have excellent technology in building roads. They have excellent technology, for instance, in how to preserve the environment and yet bring infrastructure into high mountainous areas. They have an advantage because the Alps are very old mountains. The Himalayas are new mountains. Therefore, you can do much more with the Alps than you can do with the Himalayas, because the Himalayas has a lot of water inside it and therefore has to be dealt with far more carefully than the Alps. So their technology in preserving the Himalayan ecology but building infrastructure in critical forward areas where we are under threat by the Chinese is of huge importance to us. And those are niche areas where we look to for collaboration.
On that note, Ambassador Baswati Mukherjee, we thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on key takeaways from India's External Affairs Minister's visit to Switzerland. The participants were Baswati Mukherjee, former ambassador, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.